You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, my guest is Santos Bonacci, who returns to do another show with us. Santos is an astrotheologist who deals with the subject of reclaiming dominion. His teachings break the fictions of law, religion, and science. The holy science, the ancient science based upon the workings of the solar system, which is the science of as above, so below, enables one to develop wisdom and enlightenment far beyond what this world offers. Santos currently lectures in Australia and on global radio on astrotheology and sovereignty laws. He offers a perspective which brings some of our beliefs back into context by joining some of the dots that have otherwise made this information highly subjective, controversial, and used as a major historical source of humanity's exploitation. His websites are www.universaltruthschool.com and www.santos.net.au. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Santos. How are you?
Great, mate. Yourself?
I have kind of spaced out today. It's a kind of a weird day, but I'm here in the chair now. I'll probably get more present as we start talking.
Well done.
Thank you. Lately it's been really strange with all the solar flares, and I'm watching all of your videos. I have all of the ones that you have in your set, and there's a wealth of material in there to digest. I mean, a wealth. And you do a splendid job of showing, using documentation from sources that go way back to Egypt, to the Sumerians, to Roman astrologists, and Italian and Greek scholars. It's just an astounding array of information that you present in your videos. I just wanted to thank you for that before we get started.
Thank you.
Yes. Now, I did ask some people for questions about some things that I could ask you. And one of the things that I thought might be a nice way to segue into your work is to find out where you feel we're at this moment right now in terms of the astrological influences and the perversions or distortions of astrological influences.
Where we are in the stream of time is, we're zeroing in on many, many big cycles. Most people are aware of the Mayan connection and the processional calendar. In other words, most people know that the 24,000 or the 25,000 year wheel which we live in, called precession of the equinoxes or the great year, they know that that is coming to an end. But there are other cycles, there are other great, great cycles. Now, I can touch on those briefly. It might just, be a massive download for most of your listeners, but I will.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important. But one of the big cycles that's zeroing in is a 2.5 million year cycle. And let me explain this 2.5 million year cycle. If we get the figure for precession, the official figure for precession is 25,920 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the official figure. When you look anywhere and research it, they tell you that it's 25,920 years, which is true. Mm. Although I rounded off to 24,000 years in my videos, and there's a reason for that which I won't get into right now. But if we grab that year, that number, and this is the crucial number, this is the fundamental number to all of these cycles that we're in. 25,920, if you add two zeros to that, you've now turned it into 592,000 years. So you've got 2.5 million years now because you've added two zeros, okay?
Mm.
Now, what that means, adding those two zeros, means you've added 100 precessional cycles together mm. to come up with 2.5 million years.
Mm.
So every 100 of these cycles of precession, what happens is the axis of the Earth does one revolution. So the axis, it's not fixed at 23.5 degrees. It goes all the way around, and it takes 2.5 million years mm. for the axis of the Earth to do one revolution. This is called a polar day.
Mm.
A polar day is 100 cycles of precession. And this polar day is coming to an end. And how we know this is quite simple. The axis of the Earth wobbles, and it scribes a circle in the heavens, in the northern stars. So what happens is, right now, the axis is pointing to Polaris. And Polaris is the pole star. It has been for 2,500 years now, and mm-hmm. it will be for another 1,000 years. But the interesting thing about Polaris being the pole star is that it's only the pole star for a very, very short period of time, 3,000 years at the most. Now, these little circles that the axis of the Earth scribes in the heavens, this circle shifts 3.6 degrees every time we do one cycle of precession.
Mm-hmm.
And these are called volutes. So what happens is the wobble of the Earth is drawing circles in the sky, and it draws 100 of them all the way around until it comes back to Polaris. Polaris is the indicator. Polaris has a constellation next to it called Cephas. Cephas has his foot on the star Polaris.
Hmm.
So he's standing on the Little Dipper with his foot, but he is the hero, Cephas. Cephas is also called Jehovah.
Ooh.
Jehovah is the God of the Hebrews. Now, when Jehovah comes back with his foot on the throne every 2.5 million years, we do one round, which is called a polar day. And these polar days are the days of creation in Genesis where the Elohim say, where it says that in 6 days, God made the earth and man, and then on the seventh day he rested. Well, let me explain what's really going on according to the occult scientists. You will not get this in any church, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
But the seventh day of creation is about to start at the end of this year, and that is the 7 days of total and utter bliss. And that is the return of the Christ, the return of God's kingdom, etc. All of these prophecies, they all have to do with the stars aligning above. Mm. So when Cephas puts his foot on the throne, we know that he's come back, and it's been 2.5 million years since he's been there. And regardless of what science says, science will tell you, oh, that wobble occurs at the same place all the time, forever. The axis is fixed at 23.5 degrees with such a thing called the Milankovitch cycle, which causes the axis to oscillate between 24.5 degrees and 22.5 degrees every 42,000 years. So you relax. We've got all the science down pat. Don't worry. The axis of the Earth is stuck, and you'll always find that the axis is, the northern axis is pointing to Polaris somewhere. No, it's not. So there's the truth for your listeners, and that's the facts of science.
Huh. Well, go ahead.
And if any of your listeners are wanting information on that, get them to contact me at contact@universaltruthschool.com.
Okay.
And I will give them the documents, the book to read, from Thomas H. Burgoyne, which explains this beautiful science, because I'm sure a lot of your listeners are going to be jumping out of their skin, and they're going to want to know where I learnt that, because everything I say is referenced. So I can send them a PDF file, and they can read up on Thomas H. Burgoyne, the great occult scientist of the 19th century.
Wow. Well, okay, now, obviously, every 2.5 million years, the planet is at least 6.5 billion years old, maybe even older than that. I'm not sure about that, but we suspect that there have been civilizations that have risen and fallen even before the 2.5 million year point. And, of course, that's speculation on my part and on the part of many people who share that information. But how do we know, how do you know that we are moving into a state of total and utter bliss? And how long will that last? Does that refer in some strange way to the 1,000 years of peace that they talk about, or the golden age of the yugas?
Yeah, it is. That's what it is, Lance.
Oh, okay.
It's, it's referring to that only usually when you hear of 1,000 years of peace or the seventh day of rest of God or the promised kingdom, etc. You know, churchgoers are trained to think of some kind of intervention where a divine creature comes on the clouds with chariots of white horses and myriads of angelic armies coming to defeat the forces of evil. Well, you know, that stuff might be happening in the causal realm. It might be that dramatic, but physically, you know, we don't get to see that stuff.
Right.
We feel the turmoil, but the causal world is always going forward and always creating effects. We see the effects because we know nothing of causes.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter.
That's
right. It doesn't matter how the prophecies paint all this intervention and all of this
stuff
that's going to happen. What our eyes see on the secular, you know, on the physical thing, that's another thing altogether. So what we look around, you know, look around and you see the turmoil, you see leaders making rash decisions, you see all sorts of strange things going on around the world. These are pressures and effects of what the turmoil that the solar system is going into. The solar system is also going through a lot of pressures. The sun is going through the photon belt, and it's crashing into all of these asteroids. I think the sun took 25 major asteroid hits in 10 days not long ago, it was reported. So it's been bombarded and upgraded. And as you said before, the Earth's around about 5 or 6 billion years old. That's true. They know that. And what we also know, and science doesn't reveal, is that there have been lots and lots of waves of human civilizations and consciousness on this planet. for millions and millions of years. We've not just been here for 6,000 years, as the churches want you to think, you see.
Right.
Life has been going on for billions, millions of years on this beautiful planet.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. Some of the creation myths, especially those of the Gnostics, point to a moment when there was a kind of celestial virus, I guess you could call it, which infected the plan or the direction that the planet the Earth was going, and which relates to the idea that that Jehovah, the idea of Jehovah, is part of a false creation and is not actually part of the true creation. It was a creator god, yes, but a creator god with an ego who wanted to be worshipped as the god, but everything was already here intact before these demiurges or demigods were able to corrupt everything. Now, there is evidence that everything is being corrupted, yes?
Yeah. See, the demiurge, he is the second god. He creates from pre-existing matter. It's pretty much like a carpenter builds a house with wood that he didn't make.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone else made that wood. It turned up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the prime creator, the causal Ein Sof, unnamed energy source that creates all things, the invisible out of which the visible comes. That one, that's the true prime creator, the prime source. The demiurge is the created, really.
Yeah.
For instance, in our solar system, the demiurge is the sun and the planets. They are the cosmocrators. They are the seven formators. So as a solar system, like an atom, changes its structure from time to time when it loses a particle and becomes a negative ion, and then, you know, atoms lose particles and of course they shoot off and they're entangled, and then they find a partner and they attach themselves to another atom. This is called ionic bonding. The same thing happens with our planet. 15,000 years ago, we have evidence that that Saturn was the central sun of our solar system. He was Jehovah.
Huh.
But this new sun, this one that we see now, he turns up, and he's all of a sudden the new kid on the block. Saturn gets dethroned. He gets pushed right to the outer extremities of the solar system. We can still see his light, but that light has been diminished severely. Saturn was in a coaxial situation with our Earth and Mars and Venus. The four planets were all coaxially linked.
Huh.
And that beautiful configuration, which kept us in a pretty much a beautiful one-season golden age-like scenario, that was destroyed by this particular sun somehow. And what happened then was a spiraling downward to where we are now. And we lost that magic atmosphere and everything like that. But that was for necessity. Everything that's going on is for our own necessity. And this harshness was described in the myths as Jupiter taking over from his father Saturn and introducing the four seasons.
Huh.
See, Jupiter is Zeus, and he outwitted his father Kronos, who is Saturn. And this is what the myths are talking about. They're actually talking about the change
of the
configuration.
Planet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
George Kavassalis, that you've done a show with and I've done a few shows with, talks about this a lot, about the beings of the planet and having, you know, talked to and met the being of Saturn. And if what you say is true, I think if I were the god of Saturn, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, that's, well, this is why there are still so many people who belong to the Saturnian cult.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What they're harking back to is the days when Saturn was a benefic. Saturn now, unfortunately, is not a benefic, he's a malefic, which means the light that he does produce is no longer beneficial for us, it's actually harmful and destructive, which is not bad, because this is how nature works. Nature, like the sun, you know, I mean, the sun is the great life giver, right? But you look at what the sun does to a body of water in midsummer. If there are fish in the water, I've seen this in the country where I grew up, where a pool of water gets so overheated that the fish die.
Wow.
So much for the life-giving sun.
Right.
You know, or when the sun's not around and the pool freezes right to the bottom and the fish die, you know. So
yeah.
These orbs, yeah, sure, they work good when they work good, right? But
they're
they
flawed.
Can also be destructive.
That's funny.
Yes, so that's the sun.
Well, all right. Well, now, what about, there's a lot of controversy surrounding the moon, and it's been pretty much documented that the moon has not always been here, that somehow it was moved into place, or it moved itself, or was moved by forces that are unseen, or that we don't talk about, that start with an E, but the moon seems to be a strange bird up there, and there is enough information to indicate that it may even be an artificial moon.
Yeah. I do recall reading the book Who Built the Moon by Christopher Knight and Alan Butler, and I was blown away because I didn't expect the kind of data and information that the book is filled with. It's absolutely a gem, but I'm still none the wiser as to who built the moon.
Just that it might have been built.
Yeah, okay. I don't think they really come to any conclusion, but these, you see, what is going on is that we're confusing these myths about gods with other extraterrestrial creatures.
Mm-hmm.
That come in and do their business and then leave. You know, some of them play around with the DNA, and some of them build some buildings and do some impressive stuff, and then they leave, and we're stuck with all these memories of these great gods who visited and whatnot. So there's another take on the gods, you know. It's not always talking about the planetary archangels, which are changing their configuration, the Olympians, the great gods of matter, you know. There are also other entities that kick around in the universe that we call gods too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. No, a lot, too many. Too many gods will spoil the soup.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. But what we've been asked to remember is who we are, and that we are of divine source. You see, everything, Lance, is made of light. Light is a, light divides itself into two and produces the effect we call electromagnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And electromagnetism is all the force in the universe that does all the work in the universe, and there is nothing else. It's all electromagnetic. So light We are light bodies. We are drops of light, you see, if you want to look at it that way. We are children of light. God is light. The angels are light. The planetary bodies that we see are light. The stars we look up at night, that's light. The dust is light. The water is made up of light, hydrogen and oxygen, which is a rate of vibration of light. Sound is light. Every single thing that you see, everywhere you look, is a product of light. So we are children, sons, if you like, S-U-N, of God. And this is what we need to remember, Lance. And the sooner we remember this, the sooner we rejoin the celestial family of enlightened creatures. But we must stop the bad and harmful practices of destroying the earth and commerce and all of these stupid things where we think that money's real and all of these transactions that we do on earth, you know, with corporations and everything, and we think they're real. Unless we grow up and remember who we are and reclaim our dominion as children of God, children of light, and return to higher vibratory states of light, we're not going to enjoy not even a quarter of the blessings that are coming, because we're depriving ourselves, you see. The rate of vibration of light that most people carry is the lowest kind. They are eating junk food. They are eating aspartame, which is poisonous. They're eating all kinds of sugars. They pump themselves with immunizations, which have got mercury and thimerosal in them. They eat dead food. You see, a lot of people go to the shops and they buy all their food is in boxes and tins, cornflakes and baked beans, and milk in plastic bottles. Milk is already polluted with, well, it's homogenized and pasteurized. Whatever those words mean, they don't sound good.
Yeah.
The people who drink raw milk swear by its healing properties. People who eat raw honey swear by it. People who eat most raw food swear by how vital it is. And what it does when you're eating raw food is you're raising the vibration of your beautiful body. And your body is full of atoms, and those atoms are crying out for real food. And when you open a box of cornflakes and you put all that dead food in your body, your atoms are being deprived of magnetic current, and they long for it. And the less you give to them, the quicker they die, and the cells die quickly. You see people with wrinkles everywhere. People are just walking around with furrows in their faces and wrinkles so deep, it looks like they've never eaten a raw apple in their lives. You know, they're too scared to. You know, unless it comes in some sort of an apple tort or a cake or something like that, where the apple's been boiled to death and it tastes so great, you know, that apple tart, unless it's been persecuted and either roasted or fried or mangled in some way and put in a box, so you can open the plastic in the box, unless that's happened, they don't want a bar of it. It's too raw.
Yeah, yeah. Not to mention the fluoride in the water, chlorine in the water, and I have a report that I researched on the natures of water, which is supposed to be alive and conscious in its own right, but there are about 30 or 40 other substances that can be traced in those, and some of those include barium and aluminum and poisons. Most of them are poisons. And that comes from our tap water, and it's invisible, and you don't really taste it. So people are drinking poisons, and the pineal gland pulls fluoride right out of the body like a magnet. So one of our major glands that's supposed to be juicy and fresh is calcified with fluoride. So how can our bodies work with all the things that you mentioned, eating dead food that has no nutrition whatsoever? And if it did, then we throw it in the microwave so we can get rid of the phytonutrients. We really are a comical race.
Yeah, we are. And look, for the listeners who are really, really keen to increase their electric intake, there are three things that they can do. One is quite simple. Take your shoes off. Walk bare feet on dirt. Find some dirt, people. Find your mother, your magnetic Mother Earth. She is dying to connect with your Pisces water mutable feet. Your feet are Pisces, your head is Aries. Aries is fire, therefore the head is quite happy to be stuck in the air because air and fire are the two masculine of the four elements which connect, and water and earth are the two other elements that need to connect. So when you take your shoes off and your Pisces feet connect with earth, you're discharging all of the free radicals. The Mother Earth kindly takes them. She absorbs them. They are sucked out of your body. So you need to walk on dirt for 45 minutes every day, if you can. And the other thing is to learn how to solar gaze.
Yeah.
Because the sun's electric photons are so powerful that they will enter the nervous system of your eyes. They go straight to your electrochemical brain. They feed your brain with electric current, and then that in turn feeds the nervous system, which in turn operates the body. You see, people who are getting multiple sclerosis and atrophy and they can't move, they can be healed by staring at the sun. If you've got someone in a wheelchair who can't walk because, you know, their muscles have atrophied or anything like that, stick them out in the sun and teach them how to solar gaze. 10 seconds, start with 10 seconds, next day, 20 seconds, next day, 30 seconds, the next time you go out to the sun. But you always need to stare at the sun when the sun is very, very low on the horizon, because if you're looking at the sun when it's directly up ahead, you're going to be taking in a whole bunch of ultraviolet rays, and they will hurt your eyes.
Right, right. I started
the
doing
sun
that
at about 10 degrees off the horizon before it's setting and after is very, very healing to the physical organism.
Oh,
take your clothes
off
and just bathe in the sun and stare straight at the sun.
Yeah, it's an incredible experience. I have somebody coming on the show in a week or two, Mason Dwinell, who wrote a book called Eating the Sun, and I think that's what he wrote. Anyway, I think it was you that suggested this, and also going barefoot, and these are ancient indigenous tribal routines, shamanic routines that they knew had mystical properties. And it's amazing when you start doing the sun gazing. I would be doing it now, except that we started getting snow and rain, but it is just a phenomenal experience. I can't wait to get out there and do it again. So what was the third thing, Santos? You said there were three things.
The third thing is to eat as many herbs as possible that have not been hybridized. Hybridized herbs would be peppermint, chamomile, comfrey, aloe vera. These have been compromised by interference. Men have fiddled with these plants, and they're hybrids. Carrots are also hybrids. Most of your grains, the only grain which is not hybrid, I believe, and that is alkaline and therefore electric, is spelt. And you can have spelt spaghetti, you can have spelt bread. So I would be switching over to an alkaline diet as soon as possible. Now, there's a great guy on the internet called Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I. I would be studying Dr. Sebi. He teaches, he works out of Honduras. He teaches about herbs. He has healed every disease known to man. In fact, he was taken to court in America there by the FDA. And the FDA said, how dare you, you use the word healing when you're talking about remedies? You're only allowed to use the word treatment. We're going to take you to court, buddy. And you need to bring 9 samples of living human beings that have been cured, as you say.
Uh-huh.
And so he rocked up to court. He brought 79 people to court.
Wow.
In the 80s, and he walked out of there laughing.
Wow.
He defended himself. He's a beautiful, tall, black, African-American man. He's about 80 years old. He walks around like he's only 20.
Wow.
He has cured every disease known to man only with herbs. Because
wow.
He teaches that we have been consuming a diet of hybridized food.
Mm.
All the grains are hybridized. So therefore, what we're doing is we're eating starch. Starch is not a food. It's a bond. It's a bonding agent. It bonds 2 unequal chemicals. So all food that has been hybridized has starch in it, and starch is toxic. It's acidic and destructive. So I'd be getting into Dr. Sebi, and I'd also be getting into solar gazing with HRM. So for your listeners, punch in YouTube, beautiful video by Hiraratan Manik called Solar Gazing with HRM. And that should suffice for your listeners if they want to increase the intake of electric alkalinity into the body, get it all fit and ready and vibrating for the beautiful changes that are on their way right now, so they can enjoy 100% of this of the blessings that are coming down.
Well, that's awesome. There are a couple of other things that I've read recently by Paul C. Bragg, who was a fitness and health expert, and he cured quite a few people over the years that he was developing his techniques using a combination of fasting and distilled water and juicing. So there, you know, I would throw that in as an additional perk that could help cleanse the body, because the distilled water has a charge that removes the fluoride from the body, and the fasting cleanses all of the muck that gets caught up in the inside the body that gets as a result of eating an acidic diet. So those are a couple of other little tips that might be helpful too.
So yeah, distilled water. For sure. Also, the fact that it takes the fluoride out, that's great. Fasting is good because it gives the organs a break.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are not getting enough sleep. Therefore, the organs are always behind the eight ball. They're always tired and struggling. So if they've got to digest and assimilate and metabolize all this food, that's extra work. So fasting helps in that area. There's a lot of stuff we can do. I'm sure many, many people are interested in this and they can improve their health. Others, of course, are quite happy to eat their Krispy Kremes and their McDonald's hamburgers and so forth. So that's fine too. But if you want to improve your health, there's the only way is to be able to pump the body with raw, living, light food, and that is L-I-G-H-T.
Right.
Light, as in
right.
light from
yeah,
the sun.
Yeah, total agreement on that one.
Yeah.
Now, one of the questions that everybody's going to have, there are a couple of things. One is going to be, is this transition that you're talking about from the 2.5 million year cycle, is this going to be a gradual transition that is marked by December of 2012 when the planets align? Is it going to be, do you see it as being some kind of instantaneous in terms of the planetary cycle's time frame? Or are we going to see signs of that starting now and moving into it? How will we know that we're actually are moving into this new cycle, and how long will it last?
Well, there is different information about this, and I would rather that people source that themselves than coming from me, because I don't have I don't have all that information. I don't have a crystal ball either. But I know that going on past every 12,000 years, this happens. Okay, and the Egyptians have recorded four times in the past, according to Herodotus, they've recorded that every 12,000 years, which is, of course, half of the precessional cycle, take note, the Egyptians told Herodotus, the priests there, that they've had shifts, sudden, very, very, very sudden shifts that occur over a three-day period where the earth stays still and sort of stops, turning one way, and then it goes the other way.
Oh.
And the sun rises in the west and sets in the east.
Oh.
And then it it flips over. And the Egyptians have recorded four of these.
Wow.
So, going back, a good 50,000 years, they've recorded it. And they assured Herodotus, they said to Herodotus, rest assured that life is not affected on the planet. Neither is vegetation. Everything goes on.
Wow.
Yeah.
that's amazing. That's just amazing. I have a feeling that we're in to see some incredible and miraculous changes as we progress towards this 2012 window. One of the questions that I wanted to ask that came up during my research on the net this week is it seems that some people are mentioning that sacred geometry may have been and is corrupted by those who are controlling the Earth's game board, and that it's being used against us. So how do we discern between the authentic sacred geometry and its divine nature, and how it's been distorted and is being used to control us?
Well, I would use sacred geometry to your advantage. That's how I would do that. Turn the symbols around, know what they mean. All they're doing is they're using the symbols in a negative way. They turn them around. The swastika is turned around.
Well, you go into that quite a bit on your video series, so I just would defer to your videos and tell people to...
Yeah.
Because it's a vast subject, and many people have done research on how the symbols, especially corporate logos... You went into that quite a bit in one of your videos, and it was quite illuminating, especially about the sun and the symbols that were being used. We're running towards the end of the hour, so I just wanted to give you a chance to sum up whatever it is that you would like to share with us today, and then mention your website so people can find you.
Yeah, look, the website is universaltruthschool.com. And that connects up to all my free videos. I have 12 of those presentations on YouTube. And the YouTube handle is Mr. Astrotheology.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an abundance of videos there of my own and of other astrotheologists and scientists and stuff like that. And I've got a collection there of the best videos and presentations that I've collected over the years for people, just to support the science and the truth and the truth teachers out there in terms of, physics and astrotheology and diet and everything like that. They're all there on the website. It's a one-stop shop, and I encourage people to do the research.
Wonderful. Well, Santos, do you have any closing thoughts for all of us as we struggle through this world of illusion?
know yourself, and that doesn't mean just, reasserting your name and
right.
and your height and your weight and knowing all these physical things and all
right.
this data. It means go within.
Yeah.
Really, spend time with yourself. You are all that there is, all that ever was and all that ever will be. You are the best thing that you have. It's the only thing you have. You don't own your house. You don't own your Omega watch. You don't own your Nike shoes. You don't own the Ferrari that you're driving around in. All these things are lovely.
Well,
but,
Santos,
we're
at the end of the hour, so I'm going to have to bid you adieu for today and ask you if you'll come back again and join us once more.
Sure thing. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thanks a lot, Santos. All right. Bye-bye.